Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. We set this scripture up a little bit. We're gonna pick it up in verse 24. Jesus had just explained. He had a crowd gathered around him, and he had just explained that that at the end of time, people will come to him and they will say, "Look at all the things that I did for you, and I fed the hungry, and I clothed the naked, and I visited people in prison, and I did all these wonderful things." And Jesus said to them, "Away from me, I never knew you." So there's this thought of that we need to know Jesus. It's not enough to just be about his business and be about good works, but we must know him. And that's the backdrop as we pick it up in verse 24. "Therefore, if anyone who hears these words of mine," those are the words that he had just spoken, that he needs to know you. "Anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But to everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash." Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Speak in power and authority. Change our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. In the summer of 1978, I was 17, just graduated from high school, fixing to be 18. And yes, we chiseled things on rock back in those days, youth. 1978. And I was in a youth group, and we had this annual event where we would go each summer, and we would have a lake retreat, a ski retreat. And we looked forward to it all year, and I had just graduated from high school, and I thought I was all grown up. And me and these three buddies of mine, we convinced our parents to let us drive to Lake Possum Kingdom and set up camp and reserve our spaces and go a couple of days early before the rest of the youth group came. And I have no idea why, but they trusted us to do that. We piled in two pickups. One pickup, we pulled this. Remember the old pop-up campers? You remember those? And you had to, you know, like hook all these poles together and everything. We had a pop-up camper, and we had a boat on the other pickup. And so off we went with these two pickups. If you know going to Possum Kingdom, you head out the Albany Highway, and you go down. You may go down the big hill heading into Albany. You remember that? You go down the big hill, and you cross the bridge going into Albany, and you go going in, and then you cross the bridge there at Hubbard Creek and make your way on to Possum Kingdom. So we find ourselves there, and the weather was looking a little shaky, and we thought, oh, this will blow over. And we set up camp, and I mean, four guys, you know, we're footloose and fancy free. We're having a ball. We're out there skiing and doing all kinds of crazy 17, 18-year-old guy stuff. If you've ever been there, you know what I'm talking about. So we're just being guys, you know, and waiting for the youth group to come. And all of a sudden, the park ranger comes down and he says, "Just got a call from your folks. Y'all need to head home. It's flooding in Abilene." Y'all, anybody remember the Tropical Storm Amelia? I guess I'm the only one that loses sleep at night about this, but. There was a tropical storm, Amelia, that had dissipated, but it had left conditions ripe. We had been in a drought. It left conditions ripe in this area for flooding, and flooding it did. I was reading some on this to remind myself, but it rained like 16 inches in like a 12-hour period in Abilene, Texas. And all the creeks were flooding, the lakes were flooding, and it was all headed towards Possum Kingdom and Lake Hubbard. So we did what the ranger said, and we'd been skiing. I mean, we had these cutoffs that we'd been swimming in, and we're still wet, and we just threw them in the truck, and we headed back. So as we're coming back, we get into a little on the other side of the Hubbard Creek Lake, and man, I mean, it's getting serious. The rain is coming down in sheets, and it's all we could do to stay on the road. And one of our pickups breaks down. We'd placed our faith, you see, in all this stuff. We'd placed our faith in these roads and these bridges and our vehicles, and we had money and all this stuff to take care of us. And on our way back, this pickup breaks down, and we have to leave it at a farmhouse. And we're thinking in another hour we'll be home. So we didn't really worry about, all our money was in one of the pickup we left. And so we're, I told you we were 17, 18 years old. So we're driving in, and we get to Albany, and we find out that the bridge has been washed out and can't go. So well, how about we go back and go this way? No, that road has been washed out. Well, how about we go back where we came? No, the road behind you, I don't know how you even made it in here, because it's all flooded. It's up over buildings. And in every direction, the bridges were out, roads were out, and there was massive flooding. We spent the night at the Dairy Queen. Every time I pass Dairy Queen in Albany, I'm going, I almost died right there. Because it was the high spot in the community. And that was kind of a makeshift rescue center. And I remember just all these things I had placed my trust in were dissolving like sand. I mean, our vehicles and our the road system and the weather and our money, all these things, they were just gone. And we found ourselves, and it was cold. This is how cold we got. The weather dropped, the temperature dropped a lot because of the storm. We find ourselves in the bathroom with those hand dryers, and we're like, doing this. It was cold. You want to do that one? It was kind of fun. But I remember there was, the last count, I'm thinking there was like 13 or so people killed just in Albany that night. And I remember just the, man, I mean, 17 years old, I was scared to death. I was scared to death. And all this hope that I had just inadvertently, just not even really realizing, the things I had placed my trust in were now dissolving. And I found myself feeling hopeless and in great despair. And back in those days, we had no cell phones. The phones, the wired phones were out because of the flooding. We managed to find some men there in the Dairy Queen that had, remember the old ham radios? We found a ham radio operator, and we said, could you get word to our folks and tell them, they may not appreciate this, but we're still kicking. We're around, And so I remember we gave that message, and a couple of hours later, that man came back and he said, I talked to your dad. He said, you're safe. Just stay where you are. You're safe. And I remember, I didn't hear those words from my dad, but I mean, it was relayed through this other man. And I just remember thinking, man, how good that felt to just know my father said, I'm safe. I'm okay. And we rode the night out there that night, and the next morning, very slowly, they allowed one vehicle at a time to cross the bridge. It was a bad thing. We begin a sermon series today, this first Sunday of Advent, as we have lit the candle this morning. This series is called Jesus Came for You. Jesus Came for You. And I want that to just that part of it to soak in for just a minute. The you. I think too many times we think Jesus came. He came for the world. But no, he came for you. And this morning, the rest of that title is, so be filled with hope. Jesus came for you, so be filled with hope. There's that word hope. Christmas season should be this time of great hope, but many times for people it can be a time of great despair. for all sorts of reasons. And when I'm not talking about, Christian hope isn't different than this whimsical, fanciful hope that the world offers. Things like saying like, I hope I win the lottery, or if you've been, were here a few months ago, and I hope I get a pony for Christmas. If you were here, if you weren't, ask somebody. No, it's a different than that kind of hope. It's hope that we have because Christ lives in us. Hope that we have because Christ has overcome sin and death, the very things that no one can overcome. But Christ has indeed overcome those things. Hope, Christian hope, is not attached to our circumstances. I want that to sink in a minute. It's not attached to our feelings or our circumstances when things are all lined up and going just in the right place. No, hope demonstrates to the world that we have Christ, that Christ is real. And God's Word tells us that non-believers, people that are not in Christ, cannot have this kind of hope. They can hope that they win the lottery, sure. They can hope a lot of different things, but they can't have the hope that transcends our understanding. Listen to this passage out of Ephesians. Remember that at the time you were separate from Christ, so he's talking about back when these people, the Ephesians, were separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise. I just preached about the covenants of the promise. So it was prior to them being covenants of the promise. Without hope. And without God in the world. So he's identifying what it was like outside of Christ. They were without hope and without God. They were not covenants of the promise. But now, he says, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. So you see now through Christ, Jesus came this Christmas. He came for you so that you can have hope. Hope not attached to circumstances. Now, here's what I want us to talk about a little bit this morning as we think about this topic, hope. The opposite of hope is despair, discouragement. I want us to talk about that a little bit. Christian hope comes from God. Discouragement comes from the enemy. Amen. If you are feeling discouraged or hopeless and have great despair, that's not from God. Are you just, if you're out there, just bob your head and agree with me. Amen. If you are feeling hopeless, that is not from God. God is not the God of discouragement. God is the God of encouragement. Discouragement is one of the main weapons that the enemy uses against us. I'm going to sing it for you. Remember the old hee-haw song? I've thought about that. We were meeting in class. Remember the old song? This is who we are outside of Christ. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Somebody do it. Oh, you got to help me. Let's do it again. You got to help me. Wait. Y'all just do the old part. Don't get ahead of me, Alan. Y'all just do the groaning part. I think we can all handle it, you know? Here we go. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. And then they always kind of cry at the end. Hee-haw. We'll talk about it later. I was teaching that song to Jordan Payne. I know it's a very spiritual thing in our office with us. Do that. I was teaching that to Jordan Payne. He goes, hee-haw, what? What? I'm not kidding. If you're under 30, you probably have no idea what hee-haw even is. YouTube. Yeah, I told him. You YouTubed it, didn't you? Yeah. I sing it better than they do, don't I? Yeah. All right. Discouragement is one of the main... that's some people... We live our lives like that, don't we? Gloom, despair, and agony on me. It's like, I don't make as much money as they make. I don't have the same house they have. I don't, why are they seem so happy? Why is all this, we're outward, focused on what everybody else has and what we don't have. And that is not of God, church. Jesus came so that we could be filled with hope. So here's three keys. And some of this, some of these thoughts, actually, if you were in our Overcoming Life course this past Wednesday session, we talked about some of this in there. So some of it may sound familiar to you. Jimmy Evans, great pastor that teaches that class. Three keys to overcoming discouragement. First thing is to set your heart and your mind on God. God's Word tells us that to set our hearts on things that are good, that are lovely, that are beautiful. Set our mind and our heart on those things. And you know, the old adage, "You are what you eat." And back in my old computer days, we had a saying, "Garbage in, garbage out." I mean, if all we're doing is ingesting negativity, I heard this from the guy from Focus on the Family, Cheryl, not James Dobson, yeah, H.B. London, in part of the Focus on the Family, he used to have a deal like, you know, don't hang around joy suckers. He had that. I love that word, joy suckers. And that doesn't mean don't show the love of Christ to people, but it's like, you know, if all you're doing is you're just hanging out with negative people all the time, and they can bring us down. And even more so, I would challenge you to ask yourself, are you a joy sucker? It's easy to go, oh, yeah, that Jeff, man, he's really a downer, man. But are you a joy sucker? Are you one of the people that we need to avoid? Set your heart and your mind on God. Psalm 16 says that I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. You see, you set this your mind and your heart on God, and suddenly you find yourself thinking about the things of God and feeling the way God feels and processing, making decisions the way God would have you make decisions. The more that you take in of God, the more you become like God in your spirit. All right. I want to give us three tools. There's some notes here. I'm going to skip over some of these notes because I'm just feeling led to kind of emphasize some other things. One of the things that I think there's three ways that I really set in our heart and our mind on things of God I want us to really think about. And that's number one is get into God's Word. Not because it makes you good and not because the preacher said so and not because mom and dad said so. Or you've always just heard, you know, good Christians read their Bible. No, because it's transformative. It's the living, breathing Word. And get into God's Word and so that God can transform us and we can learn the heart and the mind of God. So get into God's Word. And I also encourage you to pray. And even when you read God's Word, to pray that God would open up the Word to give you what He would give you. And then here's a powerful tool for you. It's called praise. Praise. And you've heard me say this before if you've been here very long, is that it's impossible to be depressed when you're praising God. The problem that we run into is sometimes if we feel so discouraged and so depressed is we just can't muster up the energy to praise God. But the problem is not if we praise God, we will not be encouraged. That's not the problem. So that's why I tell people, you know, come to church, put on Christian music in your car, just feed yourself the things of God so that you will be encouraged, so that you will be able to praise Him. And we don't praise Him because of all the good, cool stuff that we've got or our health or any of those wonderful things. We praise Him because He's God. And we praise Him because He loved us enough. Those young people have said yes to it this morning. He loved them enough that He took some nails for them. That's why we praise Him, because of His very nature. Second thing, as we look at how to overcome discouragement, expect trials in this life. You know, I think many times we go through life with this expectation that life is supposed to be easy, that if God loves us, it's easy. Was it easy for Jesus? Was it easy for Paul? I mean, they whipped and beat Paul every other day, near death. I mean, was it easy for any of God's people? No, it's not easy, but God walks with us through this life. It tells us that Jesus himself said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. He's saying that there's something bigger than this world. There's something bigger than the trials that you're facing. And listen to this. This is the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1. He says, this is his words. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Now listen to this. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Now listen to, there's a purpose for the trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. So expect trials. Understand that God is shaping us. He is molding us through the trials. The trials, I know some of you in here who've had tremendous trials in your life. Trials that I don't know that I could have been able to bear. But I just want you to know God is still good. God is the God of hope. And it's bigger than the trials that we face. The last thing on that before we go to number three, you need to remember that the perspectives of people that seem to be chronically discouraged are this. I expect victory without difficulties. And I expect difficulty without victory. I think those are in your notes. I want those to sink in for a second. I expect victory without difficulties. That's as if Jesus saying, I can redeem mankind without the cross. And Jesus even prayed that. He was hopeful of that, even in the garden. He said, Father, isn't there another way? Take this cup from me. But then immediately he said, no, your will be done. So Christ was not looking forward to the cross, the pain of the cross. But he was looking more forward to the victory that would be won on our behalf on the cross. People that are chronically discouraged seem to say, I expect victory without difficulties, and I expect difficulty without victory. And it's that, woe is me. It's just the way, I'm just unlucky. It's just the way it is. God must be angry at me. That's not the truth. That comes from the enemy. Third thing, way to overcome difficulties. Take our eyes off ourselves and place them on Christ. Has anybody besides me noticed we live in a self-centered culture, our world? I mean, we really do, if we're honest, church. We live in a self-centered world. I want to, the great hymn, My Hope is Built, we just sang it just a moment ago, was written by a pastor named Edward Mote in 1834, and the words just are so powerful in that hymn. I want to read them over, even though we just sang it. I want to read them over to you again. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. He's talking about that when things are going good, that's not what I place my trust in, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is seeking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. See, when we're anchored in Christ, no matter what we face, it holds. His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. You know, this season, church, this Advent season, I pray that you understand that Christ did indeed come for you. And we celebrate that this time of year. He came for you so that you might be filled with hope. And the most hopeful thing that we can do, and that Christ instituted this meal, on the night that He was betrayed, He took the bread and He broke it and He said, "This is my body broken for you. Remember me. Remember me." And then He took the cup and He blessed it and He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant established in my blood. Whenever you drink of this, remember me." This is a table of hope. This is a table of hope. It's a costly table. It's not a table to be taken lightly. I want to invite you to take just a moment here and to share your own personal, private confessions before a holy God, just silently, if you would do that now. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. I want to give you this invitation that comes from Christ our Lord. Christ our Lord invites to His table all who love Him and who earnestly repent of their sins and seek to live a new life into His glory. So the invitation comes from Christ, and it's not a Wiley Methodist invitation. It's not my invitation. It's the invitation from Christ Himself. And so if you've confessed Christ as your Lord and your Savior and you repent of your sins, then you are invited. You do not have to be a member of our church. You do not have to be a member of any church to come and partake of this table. You are also free to not come. That is okay as well. But I hope that you will. I hope that you will partake of this table with us as the body of Christ. If those who are serving and the praise team and the sound team will come forward, please. as the invitation has been made, there are three serving stations with the bread that you will be given, and that you can take the bread and dip it into the cup and partake in that manner. The center aisle here, if you would like to be served with the individual cups, you can come and be served in that manner. The altar rail is open. If you would like to spend some time in prayer, come.
He became sin, who knew no sin.
Blessed Redeemer. Sing that chorus with us one more time.
Jesus Messiah, name above all names.
Some of it soak in.
Blessed Redeemer.
Seated. Now, so these young people have already professed their faith in Christ and asked Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So we come today to perform the baptism, which God's Word tells us is His seal on that, His mark on that. It's also a time when we invite the Holy Spirit to come and live inside of them. And it says in God's Word that the angels rejoice when someone comes to belief in Christ. And so if the angels are rejoicing, I really hope we rejoice. So this is not a solemn moment. This is a time that for us to celebrate. So feel free to, you know, if you want to, whatever it is you do. I don't know what you want to do. We want to celebrate. So who's first back there? Come on up. Sterling, starting us off. Way to go, man. Awesome. Well, sit right there, buddy. On the other side. There you go. All right. Sterling, I'm going to pray as we go because I want each one of you to be prayed for. So don't hold your nose there, Sterling. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Stay seated for this sake. Family, if y'all want to come up, take a picture. We're gonna pray, and I would like for y'all to be up here when we pray for him. As your loved one comes forward in just a moment, if you don't be bashful, if you want to come up, take pictures while we're doing it or whatever, you just come on. I threatened to hold Sterling under till he bubbled, but he seemed like he was a pretty good guy. All right, let's pray. Father, I thank you for Sterling. I thank you for the cross, and I thank you that he said yes to you. Fill him with your Holy Spirit and grow him into the man you call him to be. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Okay, come on. Keep it coming. Keep it coming. There we go. Cannon. All right, sit right there, big guy. Hold your nose. Cannon, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Cannon. Hang on. We're going to pray for you. Go ahead. Father, I lift up Cannon to you in the name of Jesus. I thank you again for the cross. I thank you that he has said yes, and I pray you would fill him to completion with your Holy Spirit, creating him the man you called him to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Jaden, I am going to hold you under, buddy. Maybe not. All right. Mom, Dad, do y'all want to come up closer? Parents, in-laws, whatever. All right. Jaden, hold your nose, dude. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come on up. Come on up. Put a hand on his wet head. Father, we thank you for Jaden. We thank you that you died for him. We thank you that you've called him to live for you. Fill him with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I know. The dude is going to need some work now, guy. Leah. If Leah's family wants to make their way up, they're making their way up. All right. Hold your nose. Leah, in the name of Jesus, I baptize you in the Father, by the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Say right there. Right, come on up. Father, thank you for Leah. Thank you for dying for her. Thank you, Father, that you have given her the gift of your Holy Spirit. Just fill her, create in her the person you've called her to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Tristan. We got family making their way up. No? Yes? No? Here they come. This is a big deal, church. Amen? Yeah. All right. Tristan, hold your nose, guy. I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus, thank you for Tristan. Thank you for dying for him. Thank you, Father, that you fill him with your Holy Spirit now. Bless him and create in him the man you've called him to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Who's up next? Taylor. Okay. Taylor, hold your nose. Wait, we'll let family get up here. Oh, my gosh. We're being swarmed by munchkin girls. It's okay. Taylor, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Stay right there. Y'all want to put a hand on her? Get up in there. If you can't reach, just touch somebody in front of you. Jesus, thank you for Taylor. Thank you for dying for her. Thank you, Father, that you've called her to live for you. Just fill her with your Holy Spirit. Bless her and create in her the woman you've called her to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Huh? Megan? Are you last?
No.
No? Still got more? We're running out of water. Okay, hold your nose, Megan. We got family on their way up? Friends? Anybody? Here we go. Awesome. Megan, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Come up. Put a hand on her. Father, we thank you for Megan. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for the Jesus that lives inside of her now. Fill her with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Anthony, don't fall, big guy. All right. We got some coming up. Awesome. You're packing them in, Anthony. All right. All right, hold your nose, guy. Anthony, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Stay right there, guys. Awesome. Father, I thank you for Anthony. I pray, God, that you would just bless him, that you would fill him with your Holy Spirit, you would create in him the young man you called him to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Reed. All right, hold your nose. There we go. Got the fam coming up. All right, hold your nose, guy. Reed, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Awesome. Stay right there a second. Let's pray for Reed. Father, thank you for Jesus, and thank you for Reed. I just pray, God, that you'd fill him with your Holy Spirit and you'd empower him to be the man you've called him to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Vic, are you the last, buddy?
One more?
Are y'all bringing people off the street out there? Awesome. Okay. Vic? We got some folks coming up for Mr. Vic here. What do you think? Okay, hold your nose. Vic, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Back up. Father, thank you for the cross. Thank you for Vic. Fill him with your Holy Spirit and empower him to be a new creation. In Jesus' name, amen. Casey Joe, last but certainly not least. Okay, hold your nose. Casey Joe, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Stay right there a second. All right, let's put a hand on her if you can reach her. Father, thank you for Casey Joe. I thank you for the cross, Father. We just celebrate. We ask your Holy Spirit to fill her and create in her a new creation. Father, everything that's not of you, may it go away. May the old be gone and the new come. In Jesus' name, amen. We celebrate together. We are dismissed. God bless you for being here.